Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to talk about some things that we learned in our tournament season. The 2018 season is pretty much done for our general tournaments. There's some regional stuff and some national stuff coming up, but your overall for the summer months or the summer tournaments are wrapping up for the Walleye Series, at least in the Midwest. And we are kind of talking before we started rolling on this podcast about some of the pitfalls, some of the things we learned this season. I wanted to get some engagement from some of you guys out there that do tournaments. Comment to us on either our Facebook or send us an email. But some things we learned. Me and Mitch were talking about this year, we really were trying to go big, trying to really see how many tournaments we could win. Now, we only fished 5 tournaments a season in our regional stuff, but we wanted to get as many wins as we could. We've had some success in the past, and we've talked about this, of being consistent. And last year, we cashed checks in every tournament, being consistent, fishing smart, playing the averages. This year, we said, let's try something different. I mean, that worked for us last year. We're going to try to go and
we're going big.
Yeah, see if we can win these things on a consistent basis.
And highest finish last year?
Second.
Okay.
Yep.
Second. All right, so no wins, but second, lowest in the money.
Seventh.
Yeah, somewhere in there. I don't know.
So consistently between second and seventh all year, last year.
I'd say, yeah, our average is about fourth.
Which is pretty solid, right?
Pretty solid, yeah. I mean, we were fishing averages to the lakes that we knew the size of the fish, the amount that we're catching pre-fish. So and let's say in a lake we're fishing, we have an average of a 2.45-pound fish would be our average. You know, that's what we know. That's going to be our minimum. We catch a 2.43, back in the water.
Yeah.
It's not the average, right? It's not the average.
Right.
Hard to do. Mm-hmm. But this year we're like, no, we bumped it up.
Yeah, we need to go big. We wanted a win or two, you know.
Right.
And so we fished differently. We were casting a lot more.
We were fishing pretty aggressive.
Yeah, trying to trigger strikes from bigger fish.
And so what did you figure out? Why were you casting more?
Because we were able to trigger bigger fish.
There you go.
So pre-fishing, you know, the first tournament we fished, second I guess, beautiful fish. One after another, it was awesome. Probably one of the best top 10 days Brad and I have had on the water. Sure enough, Saturday morning, guess what? Our front came in that night, and those fish shut down.
We had like an inch of hail, and it shut them down. So what it did for us is we went to our spots, right, and they were not holding fish, or they shut down.
Yeah.
So we weren't playing the averages. Like, we didn't have a whole bunch of spots. We found big fish spots when we were pre-fishing, which that means, like, instead of finding a good area to where we're normally pre-fishing, where we're going to catch 5, 6, 7 walleye in 20 minutes or so, and knowing that we got good 18-inchers that are pretty much your average here, we were passing those up. We're like, we're going for fish that are like the 20, 21 or bigger, and maybe only catching 1 or 2 an hour.
Yeah.
But that's a big gamble because
you can burn up the hours pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, and that's a lot of casting.
Run time. Yeah. You got run time, and now you catch one. And what, let's say our average for our bigs when we were doing it, like we did when we were at Jumbo, our average was just under 21 inches for a big.
In Jumbo, you mean Jumbo Reservoir.
Jumbo Reservoir. Yeah. Yep.
Nothing. Well, you know, and I think.
And we caught fish that were like 20 and 3/4.
Yep.
No, that's not making it. Well, real quick, like.
Well, and I think it's an interesting point, and I think it's something that I noticed fishing the Wyoming Walleye Stampede Circuit is the casting. I think walleye fishing in general, if you want bigger, more consistent big fish, I think it's moving away from a lot of those traditional presentations such as trolling crankbaits and other type of trolling presentations. And I think it is resembling more and more fishing like you're fishing for bass, fishing in shallower water, fishing baits that aren't tipped with any sort of meat. So no, you know, no leech, no worm, not necessary, right? Because you're quick, you're casting, you know, meat would fly off. So you're quick casting, or you're fishing hard baits, you're casting crank baits, you're casting jerk baits, you're casting baits that aren't typically associated with a couple feet of water and catching walleyes. And I don't want to hear the Lake Erie guys say, oh, you know, here we are on Lake Erie, and that's all we do is troll, and we catch plenty of big fish. I understand that's a different beast.
Totally different ecosystem.
Totally different beast. But I have noticed, and I think Corey Springle's win at Winnebago was a good example of, you know, he used a lot of tactics that he would normally use for bass fishing to catch walleye shallow, and he won the tournament. And so I think it's, I think you're right. I mean, I think that's one of the major lessons I learned this year. And I haven't learned it just this year. It's been over several years. I've been, you know, evolving my way of thinking. But, you know, the last tournament we just fished, we were in 30th place after day one with a, you know, five fish limit of only eight, almost 9 pounds. And the second day we bumped all the way up to seventh and we had 16 pounds. And the big difference was a big fish. First fish of the day was 27 inches. So, of course, that helps.
That's a great start.
Good start.
But the point was, in pre-fish, we didn't fish anything shallower than probably 8 feet. And we decided in the tournament, look, if we're going to do this, because the water was stained, if we're going to do this, we need to go shallow. So we lightened up our gear, and we pulled spinners and went shallow, and 4 feet, sometimes less. I mean, I had the big motor raised up so we wouldn't bump. And that's where we caught our big fish.
No, and I think we all know that when I talk about consistency, the consistency rate of catching fish, you're going to find fish, any kind of magazines you read, listening to podcasts like this, we're talking typical structure where you're typically going to hold a vast majority of the fish, right?
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about, consistency. You can go through those. And me and Mitch know, I mean, we've talked about this. This is the first year we really focused on shallow
casting jigs.
Working structure shallow and looking for that one bite an hour.
Well, and no meat, you know? Right? And no meat. I mean, yeah. We all have been, you know, when we all first met, we all were really good at fishing vertical presentations, you know, tipping it with a crawler or a leech or whatever, and you catch a lot of fish. Yep. But you're right. We could have on some of our reservoirs, and those who aren't familiar with Colorado regulations, a lot of our lakes you have to have an 18-inch minimum to keep fish. So we would fish tournaments where we could catch near 100 fish in the tournament day.
And be lucky to get five in a box.
Well, be lucky to get two. I mean, there were days where we would catch 90 fish and not have one to weigh because none of them were over 18 inches.
Yep.
So I think that's where I started to see the difference, and it started to hit me even then, was we need to do something different to find these bigger fish.
The problem is, though, and this is a little bit of the learning curve for us, because last year, the last few years, we cashed a lot of checks in our tournaments. Mm-hmm. Pretty consistent. So that was a good formula for us. We wanted to try this. I realized right after tournament two, we're doing okay. We're finishing top 10, but we're not in the money, because the money's usually seventh or higher in our tournaments. But what I came to find is that you have to play both. If you're going to go big, you gotta set your time limit on that. And if it's not there, you got to get your consistency because you can screw yourself going into day two.
Time is...
Well, you can't ever get that minute back.
And here's the other thing, too, and I think people need to understand is, you know, no matter how much effort you put into it, no matter how much stuff you buy, no matter how much talent and knowledge you have, the heart of fishing is luck. The heart of...
I don't agree.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I'll give you an example. So the guys we team up with to fish our circuit, second tournament at Glendale Reservoir in Wyoming, same location as the first tournament. First tournament, we placed 18th out of 108. Second tournament, we did terrible. We were down around 70 out of 102 or something like that. They finished fifth. Teammates. So I know exactly where they're fishing. I know exactly what they're doing, right? And so we decided, we focused the second tournament on the shallower bite. The shallower fish in the weeds, in the brush, the shallower bite, because that is what usually wins it at that lake. Both of us, I found out after the tournament, had two fish in the box come around the last hour and a half, 2 hours of the tournament. We go to near the same spot. They go left up the shoreline. We go right. They catch three fish, all of them over 24 inches in the last 30 minutes of the tournament and go in and take fifth.
But
see what I'm saying? But I mean, so we're doing the exact same. We get zero and we come in with three fish in the box. So the problem is that that was the difference between where we finished up around 70th and where they finished up at fifth, was they came across a pocket late in the afternoon. And remember, this is a spot that we'd fished probably once or twice already that day and maybe pulled a fish out of, maybe not. And they came across, the fish had moved up. They were feeding in that shallow pocket. They caught fish and they were off.
So, no, I think the luck comes in that the fish were there.
Exactly. And in the right time.
Your presentation was right.
Right.
It's just not luck.
But that's what I mean.
You had a plan. You went to an area. Okay, so yeah, there's always that luck factor.
That little bit of luck that they ended up getting.
I mean, think about it, when we were at McConaughey a few years ago, and you ended up winning the thing, and we ended up like 18th, and we were pulling the exact same line.
Yep, because we all talked about it.
Oh, yeah, we worked the same thing. And we were catching catfish after catfish on cranks.
Yep.
And you were catching walleye after... And it was the exact same... We were drawing the same line, just back and forth to each other. Yep. I mean, we caught walleye, but you were nailing
it. Right, no, but you're right. And so that's what I mean. It's a little bit of luck.
There is some luck involved when you're getting... you're coming across the right fish at the
Right fish at the right time. Exactly.
I think my kind of take on, like, last year, me and Brad, and you know, we've all been there where we know these lakes pretty well. We know how where we can go catch fish.
Right.
And the whole consistent thing versus going big, the difference really is a lot of these things are real basic feeding fish. You know, they're
you're right.
actively feeding up on a flat, on whatever structure the fish might be holding on. But yeah, there's big numbers of fish feeding pretty much all the time, especially, you know, in the earlier spring. And
in the traditional spots. We're going to find them off of points or on flats this time of year.
Yep, and crawlers or jigs or what have you. Kind of the difference that we ran into, and it is, it's kind of a gamble. So that maybe is where luck comes in. But it seems like to do really well in tournaments, you need bigger fish. That's very simple. And the whole point is it seems like it's triggering more strikes on these bigger fish rather than they're just in there feeding. You know, like you got that big one right and they're mixed in with the rest of them, right? And you know, of course that happens, but far and above, like some of the guys that did really well in the tournaments this year here in Colorado, very aggressive. You know, they're aggressive
presentations in shallower water.
Yep, they sure are. And it totally feels like we're triggering those strikes. The last tournament, it was a pretty tough bite in general, but we were pulling cranks with lead and we were going fast.
Yep.
In 5 feet of water with lead.
Yes. Yep. See?
2.5 even faster.
Right.
And that's triggering those fish where we could have gone through there with death, Lindy rigs, whatever. You know, who knows? They might have bit. But it just felt like we were really triggering them.
So here's the thing.
Well, and by death, you mean slow death, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing on that, too. So, of course, you always look and see how we fished the tournament there last year. You always look and see how the bite was. Same type of year. See what the weights are. Compare that to your pre-fish days. Last year's winning weight over 2 days was 19.16 or something.
Yeah.
So he said, we got to come in with 22 pounds.
Right.
We're coming in with 22, and that's our magic number. And we came in with like 22 and a half, and we ended up
seventh overall.
Yeah. See, so we went bigger, we caught bigger.
Yeah,
others did too. So there's, it's hard to say if you're just starting out there and you're starting to fish. I'd say fish consistent because it gives you that confidence in what you're doing.
Well, and you're
cashing checks.
And there's something to be said for that. You know, walleye fishing has got a whole bunch of kind of mythical lore to it, right? Like this old guy in this lake in Minnesota back in 78, but I was out there catching them, I mean, that's...
That was a horrible accent.
That was awesome, man. I'm sitting here looking at Mitch wearing his Vikings hat. But I mean, that's kind of how it is. I mean, we all have seen it, right? All of our families are from the Midwest. You know, I used to hear about it with my dad in Michigan and all that stuff. But I think what I'm starting to see... Or not starting, what I have seen and what I'm seeing as consistent, and consistent for me is... the myth of walleyes don't feed shallow and hot days, bright days, and summertime days, and walleyes are more of a structure, off points, deeper kind of fish. And I think
that's true.
Maybe numbers, but
not big.
Well, they may not even be active. I can't tell you how many times we'd fish a tournament. And let's remember, you're not going to see those fish on your graph, right? These fish that are up shallow, you're not going to see them.
There might be thousands of them
there. And you would have any idea. You know, you're going to see the ones, you're going to see the ones that are holding in 20 feet, and you could fish those arches all day and might get a fish or two. But you move up inside of those arches and start casting up to that 2-3 feet of water and bringing it down, and you're going to see a much better catch rate.
I tell you what, though, if you find fish out deep, or let's say deep, not even deep, 12 feet, you're catching fish, like Marciano, if you ever watch Wicked Tuna, it's really hard. You get yourself caught up in this. I'm sure you've done the same thing, is you don't leave fish to find fish.
Right.
If you're jamming them, you're like, golly, a big one could come anytime. Because we've done that before.
Right.
We've been catching 16, 17 inchers, and all of a sudden, bam, 24.
Yep.
That just held you there another hour
and a
half. Because you're like, there's more in here.
Or a day. It held you there another day. Yeah. You know.
Or you run back to that spot like four times during it, burning up gas.
Burn
I know. So,
I don't know.
I just think that, to me, that's been an interesting thing. I was talking to my nephew who lives in Nebraska last night, and, you know, he was telling me that he fishes a bunch of different farm ponds and things like that. And he said he was fly fishing for northerns and walleye. And he got one northern out of this pond, but it was pretty small. He said, but, you know, it was hot. It was the middle of the day. I don't think those fish, you know, they don't like that too much. And I said, no way. I said, keep fishing shallow. Keep doing what you're doing. I said, those fish are up there. And that's what, you know, I think the misconception is these fish don't go sit in 2 feet of water and let the sun bake them. They cruise in. And then they cruise out.
Oh, they're cruising, they're pushing up. They're pushing up bait fish.
And they're cruising out, and they're checking
it
out.
Me sitting on the couch and get up and I hit the fridge.
Right, exactly. That's what they're doing. They're coming up out of the, you know, the sunken living room, going up to the fridge, going back down.
Yep.
And I think we need to, you know, people need to understand that when you're looking for it, you're catching those fish, like you said, you get stuck there and you catch that 24 amongst the 16. Well, that 24 probably just slid out from two. If you sit in the exact same spot where you're catching the 16 and push up towards shore, you might get a little more consistent, bigger fish. And I think I started to see that, you know, and it's definitely become true in a lot of the waters we fish in Wyoming, is because, I mean, almost every tournament is won in less than,
you know, it's
3 feet of water.
It's funny, all but one tournament this year. And we didn't do as well as we normally did. We've talked about that, and we don't need to keep going over it.
we can just cut this. Yeah. We sucked it up this year.
That sounds like a scab.
Only one tournament did we fish in 20 feet of water. Everything we fished this year was 7 feet and in.
Yeah, it was.
So.
Yep, same for us. And when we did fish over deeper water, and it wasn't much deeper, I would say 12 feet, right, was the deepest I think we fished. Well, it was the deepest water. We still fished our baits in the first foot or less of the water column and consistently caught fish between 18 to 25, 26 inches. And so that was, you know, I mean, it's just, and that was early spring when people are like, oh, those fish aren't up there doing that. Oh, yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. They are and they were. And traditional walleye lore would make you think it's not, but they were.
Well, there's a reason that you've read all those articles growing up that this is predominantly where the fish are going to be at this time of year. Because they are.
Yeah.
That's where probably 80% of them are. Mm-hmm. There, a lot of them are there. So if you want to go out there and catch numbers, you're probably going to be able to do that. And you're going to you're going to do okay. We've done okay doing that. Followed the traditional path. But if you really want to swing for the fences and go for the big check, especially 2 days worth.
Sure.
You got to spend some time shallow.
You do.
You have to. Because they are there.
They are.
It's not hot and heavy. Usually, it can be. With jumbo, it was crazy.
Oh, it was fun. It was so fun.
Yeah. Two fish an hour is a pretty decent catch rate. And sometimes it's two fish every 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And let's say you only catch eight fish all day. But if all eight fish are 21, 24, 28 inches, you just won a tournament.
Well, we'll start wrapping it up. But this our pre-fish day at the last tournament that we had, fishing shallow, 5-7 feet.
Yep.
And we sent you a picture of our first 12 fish. Our slot limit was you can only have two over 21. So we were throwing everything back, but there's our pre-fish day. How many? 20, 20 and a quarter, 20 and three quarters.
Perfect
19
slot
and
fish.
Three quarters.
Yeah.
Those are perfect tournament fish.
Right.
Because now you're good for two overs, but you're as close to that as over as you can get.
Right.
I mean, it was beautiful.
Yep.
So, well, a thing I'd like guys to take away from this, and I'm sure you guys agree, is that there's traditional fishing, right?
Right.
And you're going to catch a lot of fish doing that. You know, listen to some of our podcasts, how we go about our day of taking out people fishing or tournaments. We fish a lot of traditional structure.
Sure.
But you can't set aside, if you want to try to get some of those bigger fish, let's say you are a consistent fisherman, you just want to go out and do the consistency thing. If you have your box of consistent fish and you need to go upgrade, go shallow.
Right.
That's what I think.
Right. And keep in mind.
Go aggressive.
Right.
Go aggressive.
Well, and keep in mind, like you said, there's a time limit on it, right? So what we talked about before we started taping was, you know, I have found out that you can't win a tournament on day one, but you sure can lose it. And so don't go out there and lose it on day one. Go find those consistent fish and then start, you know, or vice versa. Start shallow, look for your bigger fish for that morning bite, and then slide out in the afternoon if that's what you need to do to get to fill out a box. But make sure you use that consistency with it. And then on the second day, you know, use what you've learned. Because let's face it, we don't have the time that most of these big pros have, right? We don't go to an NWT tournament and fish for 7 days before and figure everything out. You know, we're there for a couple days max, and we try to figure it out in a couple days, and then we're in the tournament. So a lot of times that Saturday is a third day of pre-fishing, you know? So go out and fish. You know, go out and fish. Go out and find those fish. If you know they're supposed to be shallow and that's where you're going to go look, go try different places shallow and see if you can find fish. I mean, that's what we did on the Sunday where we just finished seventh is, you know, we knew – or on the Saturday, we found fish in a certain area, and we went and looked for other areas that looked like that. Just by looking at it, because they were so shallow, you're not going to mark them. So we looked at the, you know, the way the bank looked and the way the rocks came down.
The slope.
And how much brush was there. And we said, okay, this looks like the place we were just at. We found two more places on Saturday that produced keeper fish for us both days. And then on the last day when we had that big fish, we got another 22 right out of a different spot.
Thinking of that structure, because, you know, the reason why you're not marking them for those that are, why can't you mark them? Because if you're in 4 feet of water, your cone is about the size of a football. You're not mm-hmm. getting any fish swimming under you. Right. Marking very little. But and this one other point, because you made me think of it. We were fishing a tournament probably 3-4 years ago, and there it was cliffside tournaments. I mean, the lake had cliffs on the side mm-hmm. of it, and it was a real tough bite, but part of some of the ground coming into the water had like black sand in it.
Oh, yeah.
Every time we got in that black sand, we were catching fish. Not very many, but we were catching fish.
Right.
Compared to none anywhere else.
Right. Right.
So we fished all over that lake and weren't catching anything but stuff with the stuff that had black sand going. We started hitting all the different black sands. Now there's only like 10 or 12 different small little black sand things that we could find. Fish in every one of them.
Every one of them. But sometimes that's all you need. Even if you only got one fish out of each one, yes, and you had 12 spots.
That was
spots,
it. And we did really good.
12 fish in a day, you're gonna come in when everybody else is having a hard time.
Yep. So, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thanks for listening. Make sure that you're following us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And also continue to keep emailing us at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments. Love to hear what you want for podcasts. So from all of us in All Eyes on Fishing, thank you.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss all of your favorite topics. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And check out our webpage and YouTube channel at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, helping you to fish the next level.